Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle to kick off week number 9 of this NFL season on a Thursday night. And believe you me, once again, it might be a new week, but it's the same story of the last month. The New York Jets in a game they absolutely must and desperately have to win. We'll preview week number 9 in the start of it this Thursday night in MetLife between the Jets and the Texans. There will be plenty of news around the National Football League, and we will set the stage for the opening weekend of November in college football. The final month of the regular season starts on Saturday, less than a week away from our first unveiling of the college football playoff rankings in this 12-team era. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. He looks rather fall on this Thursday if you're watching on YouTube, or perhaps you're just listening across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM. But let me tell you, Joe Lisi looks absolutely fantastic to get you set for week number 9. I am Ben Stevens. And Joe, a happy Halloween to you, my friend. Let's talk some football.
Yeah, well, thanks for the compliments. No mask here, baby. We're enjoying Happy Halloween and, you know, wouldn't want to talk college or NFL with anybody else. So this is what it's all about. A pretty good game tonight in terms of the New York Jets and the Houston Texans because of the storyline surrounding Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. They've lost 5 straight. Yeah. They're reeling right now, searching for answers, and they're facing a red-hot team in terms of C.J. Stroud and the Texans that are 6-2 overall. So we'll see how this plays out tonight. And college football, Halloween weekend, even though it's technically not falling on Halloween itself, this weekend typically gets some crazy games dating back for the last 15 to 20 years, Ben. So if you're a college football fan, buckle up because upsets could be on the horizon.
Might it be a spooky weekend? In fact, Joe, we only have 2 top 25 tilts in week number 10. When there's a lack of ranked versus ranked, sometimes that means chaos ensues. But we do have a game of the year, a top 5 tilt to look at in just a little bit. But let's not bury the lead. It's Thursday night football. It's week number 9. It's Aaron Rodgers and the Jets on a 5-game losing skid at 2-6. Desperately, a necessity, must have a win tonight against the Houston Texans. And here we are, Joe, at least from the odds makers' perspective, once again, expecting the New York Jets to do just that. Simply win a football game. New York is now a 2.5-point home favorite on this short week Thursday night football game against the Houston Texans. Houston enters banged up. It's 2 main wide receivers, Nico Collins, who has been sidelined the last few weeks with a hamstring injury, not going to play tonight. Stephon Diggs, as we learned, suffered a torn ACL this past weekend in the divisional duel against Indianapolis. He is out for the remainder of this year. So the Texans are shorthanded. They have to travel on this short week to MetLife to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And the odds makers, Joe, think New York, finally can come out on the winning end. What does Joe Lisi have to say?
Yeah, I'm not buying it. Again, I bet against them on Sunday with the New England Patriots, and I'm not buying into the fact that the Jets are the better team in the, heading into this matchup. Granted, they are favored at home. There is some sort of home field advantage for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. We saw them go toe-to-toe with Buffalo. They lost that matchup 23-20. They played very well. It might affect Houston big picture with no Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins being banged up if you're going to potentially buy into them as an AFC championship team or even a Super Bowl team. But in this spot, even though it's a short week, I have the more consistent quarterback, I have Joe Mixon, and I have the more consistent defense that is opportunistic. I'll take that any day of the week. Give me the give me 2.5 points. I think the Texans win it, Ben.
Listen, Joe, I actually think it's a rather simple handicap for this game, and I'm with you. I bet the Texans on the money line earlier this week at plus 108. Market has worked against me. I still feel okay about it. That's when Houston was a 1.5 underdog before official confirmation of no Stephon Diggs. I also bet the under of 42.5. But here's why I believe this is a simple handicap. If you can say for one more time that you have enough belief in the New York Jets to expect them to win a football game against a 6-2 team on the other side, you bet New York. You lay the 2.5. And it's rather simple for how you then would handicap the game. Devontae Adams finally finds Pater. Breece Hall has a big night. Aaron Rodgers plays clean football as he did in Foxborough. And the Jets win this game rather comfortably. But, Joe, if you have lost that belief, and I think it's rightfully so, in New York and Aaron Rodgers, who has found active ways to lose football games when we have expected them at least to win outright in the last month on this five-game skid, then it's all Houston. You don't believe in the New York Jets, and you think you're getting free money from the odds makers with a plus money price in front of that Texans price. I agree with you. It is all Houston. Joe, the New York Jets cannot point to one thing they are doing well and why it has led to them winning football games. They have lost five straight. They have not covered in any of the five. In the last three, they have gone over. The defense that was the stronghold of this team for the last year and a half has allowed 23-plus points in each of their last three games. Joe, out of 751 teams in the history of the NFL to hit these qualifiers, 20-plus points in the same game as holding the opposition to less than 250 yards in the same game as not turning the football over, the New York Jets are the only one of those 751 possible teams to lose a football game outright, as they did last week in Foxborough. There's not one redeeming quality about this New York Jets team, except on paper, expecting them to be better than they are when they have proven time and again, they're just not a good football team, and they do not have a winning culture.
No, and it starts with Aaron Rodgers, and it trickles down. And again, I've said this to you multiple times. Who's really running the organization on the field? Is it Jeff Ulbrich or is it Aaron Rodgers? When the defense has issues, are they going to their head coach or are they screaming at Aaron Rodgers, get it done? Because I still believe there's no continuity, to your point, in the locker room. And it'll be a matter of time, Ben, maybe after this game, before the young players like Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson start checking out because they're not believing in the goals anymore, right? They're not believing in the verbal, you know, kumbaya type of stuff that Aaron Rodgers has been preaching from the time that he's gotten into Florham Park. And that is the problem right now. It's similar, I keep saying it, to Denver and Russ Wilson when the team really revolted from a defensive perspective because they were losing ball games. You have a losing mindset right now. Somebody has to change it. They need to change it as a team. It can't be individuals. I do not like that recipe. Again, they've lost five straight. They rushed for 112 yards against the Patriots. They need a much better effort tonight. And I'll say this, they allowed that mediocre offense in New England to do and have a 12-play, 76-yard drive in the final minute and a half against journeyman Jacoby Brissett. Can't buy that in any capacity.
No doubt about it, Joe. I actually expected after the New York Jets scored on that Braylon Allen pylon plunge to bow up and at least win the game. Too much for Jacoby Brissett, now the backup in New England. He ripped them apart. Kayshawn Boutte and him look like they've been playing together for years. Sauce Gardner not looking all that saucy in the back end of a defense that has struggled. Oh, you're telling me the defensive coordinator that now has to manage everything of a dumpster fire is not being able to pay as much attention to his defense, and the Jets have given up 23 or more in three consecutive weeks? I am shocked. That is appalling. Joe, this is what I am saying. There is nothing that you can point to about the New York Jets and say, you know what? Here's their time to prove the odds makers wrong. They're booked as the favorite. They were a 7-point favorite last week. They were a field goal favorite on the road in Pittsburgh, and they dropped both of those games previously as well. The offense is playing well, sure, and you're still losing football games. In all of the changes for the New York Jets this year, the one guy who still has a job is Greg Zuerlein? Make it make sense. It doesn't. That's why we take the Texans tonight. The players that will dictate the outcome of Thursday night, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So, the players that will dictate the outcome and impact that final score tonight on a Thursday night in MetLife between the New York Jets and the Houston Texans. Joe, we start with the quarterbacks. 233.5 is the number for the 40-year-old QB. That is Aaron Rodgers. His price, Lisi, in terms of his passing yardage prop, actually a little bit higher. It's worked its way down now, 229.5 live. Then where C.J. Stroud is at 222 and a hook. Aaron Rodgers has been over 229.5 in five of the last six games for the New York Jets. Bad news, they've lost five of those six games. Lisi, if the Jets are to surprise us both and win outright, what do the Jets need out of Aaron Rodgers tonight?
I think obviously limited turnovers, don't turn the football over, but I don't think it's throwing for 275 or 300. I do not believe that. I think he's got to be maybe in the area of about 200 yards. I think the more important aspect of New York to win this game is the rushing attack. And I know they pounded the rock for $112 and 4 yards per carry, but if they can get up into the area of $150, 160, right, with both of those running backs, now you keep C.J. Stroud on the sidelines. Let's not forget, and I understand that Houston's a little banged up, but they have a secondary that plays very well. They held, Josh Allen in 9 of 30 attempts. Look at what they did to Anthony Richardson last week, 10 of what, 31, 32?
32.
Part of that was Richardson, but that was also the secondary. They have the ability to confuse Aaron Rodgers and force turnovers. So I really believe it's the rushing attack more than Aaron Rodgers in this matchup. But again, in the area of 200, just don't turn the football over, Aaron.
And one of the keys, Joe, was actually kind of last week, which is why the New York Jets losing was so starkly disappointing. You can point to the three interceptions against the Vikings or the multiple false start penalties, although they were penalized a ton in poor game management last week in Foxborough. But Aaron Rodgers played really clean football last week. 17 of 28, 233, and two touchdowns. Did not turn it over. And Lisi guy, importantly, tied with the rushing attack in trusting in your young stud in Breece Hall is limiting the amount of times that your 40-year-old quarterback is dropping back to pass. Aaron Rodgers entered week number 8 last week against New England with the second most attempts in the NFL this year. In the last three, he had thrown the football 54 times in a game, 35-plus in the last three, only 28, Joe, last week. To me, that's a good sign for New York. And yet again, it still resulted in a loss as a touchdown favorite against a one-win team. That's why I'm not buying back in to Gang Green. But Lisi guy, to your point, I think it's got to be a heavy dosage of Breece Hall. 16 carries for 80 yards last week, 9 receiving yards as well. The 2 weeks prior to that, he had at least 130 scrimmage yards, at least 141 scrimmage yards even in those two games. Again, it did not result in a win in either, but you need to rely on Breece Hall. So as we look at his numbers tonight, rushing yards prop, 65 and a half. His combo prop, 99 and a hook. Braylon Allen, 20 and a half rushing yards. Joe, there has to be some reliance on the ground game, in my estimation, for the New York Jets to actually end up on the winning side.
Yeah, and when you run the football consistently, you have short and manageable third downs. You don't put a lot of pressure on your offensive line in terms of third and 10 or third and 12 where, you know, opposing defensive fronts are dialing back and going after the quarterback. And you potentially might save Aaron Rodgers because he's been hit numerous times over the past 3 or 4 weeks. He's been dealing supposedly with some injuries, you never know.
Sure.
You know, if he goes down, there goes the season, even if Tyrod Taylor comes in. So the rushing attack is prevalent to them winning the game. I think a lower scoring game does, in fact, favor the New York Jets because they are at home. I still believe in C.J. Stroud, though, with the minus weapons. I still think he airs it out. He's got a light total tonight, Ben. I went through the total to 250+.
222 and a half is that number, Joe. I do not disagree in whether it's on the ground or as a receiver. Joe Mixon has just been great this year for the Texans. In his 4 fully healthy games, he has at least 110 scrimmage yards. 108 and a hook is his rushing plus receiving yards prop. Joe, I'm going to key on Joe Mixon in terms of his receiving yards number. Now at 22 and a half, I think he will provide a little bit of alleviation in terms of those missing receivers tonight. Stroud 2 weeks ago, career low, 86 yards on the road in Green Bay. Bounced back last week for 285 against Indianapolis. Stephon Diggs was Houston's leading receiver last week, Joe. Now he'll be trusting guys like Tank Dell, his tight end Dalton Schultz. We mentioned Joe Mixon. How about Bobby Tree, Robert Woods, and a guy that I almost feel like I'm convincing myself in Lisi-esque faction, Xavier Hutchinson. You saw the guy playing Ames in college football. You believe in the, like, how can the guy not have 20 receiving yards tonight over 19 and a hook?
Well, we might have to then parlay with his, you know, former ISU counterpart, Alan Lazard. Yeah. So let's just, you might get
Breece
me in
Hall
on that.
Played with Breece. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. We should do the ISU parlay. Breece Hall, Lazard and Xavier Hutchinson, you might get me in on that, Ben. Yeah, Xavier Hutchinson's a possession type of wide receiver. He's long, he's lanky, but he's definitely in the right spot at the right time, could definitely outmuscle an opposing defensive back in critical goal line situations. 19 and a half is a doable number. And Stroud will find the mismatches. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
Only a second-year quarterback, but he finds the mismatches to exploit secondaries.
Lisi guy, let me ask you, on the other side for the New York Jets, Garrett Wilson, the leading receiver, last week, 5 grabs, 113 yards. Devontae Adams, in his 2 games as a Jet, 15 targets, but only 7 grabs. His yardage prop tonight, now 58 and a half, a number he has been under in each of his first 2 games in New York. Neither guy, Wilson or Adams, has found the end zone with the addition of Devontae Adams. Does any of that change tonight?
I think Adams, because it's prime time and Aaron will maybe try to force feed him, that type of situation. I don't like the Jets side of things. I'm looking at the Houston side. I might look at, you know, some of the running backs, Breece and Braylon on the ground. But if I had to pick one wide receiver, I do feel it's Adams because it's prime time and Aaron loves to just, you know, showcase his talent in those type of situations.
More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. It's the start of a new week around the National Football League. Quickly here, Joe, I think it is worth our time to examine the outlook of both of the teams facing off on this Thursday, heading in different directions. The Texans are 6-2. The Jets, of course, riding a 5-game losing skid, are 2-6. Lisi, let's start with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. If for some reason you and I are incorrect, and the Jets do show a sliver of hope tonight and a little bit of belief and win this game outright as expected as a 2.5-point favorite. They improved to 3-6. Would it change at all your outlook on New York snapping a 13-year playoff drought and ending up in the postseason?
No, absolutely not. It's a Band-Aid. It'll put a little, it'll stop the bleeding short term, but expecting them then, Ben, to go, what, 7-1, 8-0 down the stretch to be a 10 or an 11-win football team, no shot. No shot. I just do not see it in any capacity. That's me. I wouldn't buy into the plus 590 price or 560,
right,
whatever they are to make the playoffs. Have they shown you anything up until this point? And again, they make boneheaded mistakes. The defense isn't the same, to your point, with Ulbrich that they were in the first half of the season. Yeah. If they were holding teams to 10 or 13 points, I might say that. But they're getting abused by a journeyman, Jacoby Brissett. And New England doubled their point output in almost one game against the Jets. Can't buy it.
They are finding, and I'm not even kidding when I say this, historic new ways to lose a football game, as was on display last week against the Patriots. Something no other team has done in NFL history in a losing effort. The New York Jets have found ways to do that this season. Plus 590, Joe, you are correct, is the make playoff number for gangrene at this moment. I would not bet it. I do not expect it to change all that much. The price would shorten with a win. And the AFC is not maybe the gauntlet that we expected it to be before the year, but still, even with a win tonight, do not think the New York Jets will make the playoffs. Joe, to the other side, for the Houston Texans. One of the reasons I think they're a road underdog tonight is the idea that they are shorthanded on that offensive side of the football. Mainly, their two top targets. When Nico Collins injured his hamstring, he was the top receiver in the NFL. Stephon Diggs, of course, the highly priced offseason acquisition for Houston. The Texans entered this week at 6-1 to win the AFC. That number has been added on by a dollar, Joe. Now it's 7-1, but still the fourth best price. The Texans are the only team with a winning record in their division in the AFC South and a minus 850 number to win this divisional crown for a second consecutive year. Joe, not even the result of tonight's game, but just the week that has happened, the injuries, of course, to Nico Collins and Steph Diggs. Has it changed your outlook in the ceiling of this Houston team this year?
Well, yeah, that's what we were talking about, the ceiling, right? I think in order for the Texans, I think there's no doubt for me they win the division. So they're a playoff contender, right? But if we're talking about them challenging the likes of Kansas City, Baltimore, or even now the Buffalo Bills that are rejuvenated with Amari Cooper, I think it's going to be very difficult unless Nico Collins is 100% and is definitely there come playoff time. And hamstrings are very tricky. You come back too soon, you tear it, you're gone for the year. So as long as Nico's there, I think they're a contender. And as long as Mixon's healthy, they are going to be there because Tank Dell is there, Dalton Schultz. There's some other playmakers. If Nico is not there, big picture, definitely change my assessment. They could be one and done.
And I think the defense is really good this year, as we have seen under D'Amico Ryans, especially up front. Joe, it is unfortunate slightly for the Texans, and I will just say this, based on where the odds are, overall outlook, not quite the division, but seeing them as an underdog against a two-win team in the New York Jets tonight, despite what the power ratings, models, and projections might say about an Aaron Rodgers-led Jets team that is talented, we have seen wild things happen in the AFC South each of the past 2 years. In 2022, the Titans were 7-4. They had a commanding lead in the division. They lost their final six games. Jacksonville rallied to take the division and win a playoff game. Jacksonville was the team to beat entering last year. They start 8-3, and then they stumble down the stretch, losing five of their last six. The Texans come out of nowhere to win 10 games and take the division and win a playoff game. Now, Houston is that team looked at optimistically by the odds and still are. But I will say this, the Texans are 6-2 this year, only 3-4-1 against the number. They have covered though in their only game as a dog, 8-4 ATS as an underdog with CJ Stroud as their starting quarterback. That's why I also buy into the Texans tonight. NFL news and notes before we hit college football. Next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So tonight starts week number 9 of the NFL season. Joe, two teams on the bye for week 9, the Steelers and the Niners, coming off wins in big spots earlier in the weekend. So of course, Joe, now we go to the rest of week number 9 in the news that you need to know. Jordan Love did not practice yesterday for the Packers ahead of their huge NFC North divisional duel on Sunday inside Lambeau Field, but did meet with the media afterward. When asked about how realistic he finds his chances of playing Sunday, he said it's realistic and he still would be preparing even if he is unable to practice this week. Joe, as of right now, the Packers a 3.5-point home underdog in Lambeau against the Lions on Sunday. That line indicates to me the odds maker is not expecting Jordan Love to start in this game. What say you? Does Jordan Love play on Sunday against the Lions?
No, I would say, listen, he's done this a couple of times now, come back a little sooner rather than later and injured something else. And now we're starting to wind down to the second half of the season. They need Jordan Love to be much, close to 100% and healthy. Otherwise, they throw their playoff hopes throughout the window, right? So I agree. I think it will be Malik Willis, but I don't matter. You know, I like Green Bay in this matchup. They're very disciplined. Defenses come around. That's not to take away from how dominant Detroit has been, a dominating home win over Tennessee. But Malik Willis is playing well within the scheme. I think they shorten the game, run the football with Josh Jacobs, exactly what they did when he was out of that lineup in the a few weeks ago, and see if he could make it an ugly game. I know Detroit's the much better team right now heading into this matchup, but I'm taking the points with Green Bay, Ben. I'm going to take them.
Outright as well, or just having the hook on that flat number of 3?
3.5 is inclined, but, as we inch closer, it wouldn't shock me if Green Bay wins. It's very difficult to knock off Green Bay at home, and I think they're bought in. The one thing I do know, Matt LaFleur will have a great game plan in place, and that'll be enough to maybe sprinkle a little on the money line, even with Malik Willis at the helm.
You know what's crazy as well, Joe, about this Packers team? They are a takeaway machine. They've got 10 interceptions, 9 fumbles recovered this season as well. They forced a bunch of them. They have been very, very good this year. Joe, to your point, it's actually a pleasure to see somebody like Malik Willis get this second shot, even in a reserve role. He got drafted in the 3rd round by the Titans in 2022, started a few games for Tennessee at the end of his rookie year, looked like a deer in headlights in the National Football League, had not thrown a touchdown pass in his career appearances with Tennessee to 3 interceptions. He has thrown a touchdown pass in all 3 of the games he has played at least a quarter of this year for Green Bay. He looks comfortable. He looks like a scheme has been designed to highlight the best of his abilities, and a big credit for Matt LaFleur for doing just that. Lisa, you got other quarterback news around the NFL. Of course, the big news this week, Anthony Richardson now on the bench. Joe Flacco, the starter in Indianapolis. Shane Steichen clarifying yesterday as Indy got back on the practice field. This is not just a 1-week thing as the Colts get ready for a Sunday night primetime game against Minnesota. This is the plan the rest of the way. They feel as though they are a playoff contender. I don't think they're wrong in thinking that. And they believe that Joe Flacco gives the Colts the best chance to be a playoff team. Lisi, is Indianapolis making the right call?
I think they are, Ben. Again, Flacco led Cleveland to a playoff appearance against Houston. He gives the team the ability in terms of the deep passing attack. We know that Anthony Richardson is hot and cold, and Flacco's more consistent, right? He has the ability to read coverage. The RPO game isn't there, but at least you know what you have from an offensive perspective. You have a veteran quarterback that knows how to win and can put the football in their playmakers' hands. That's all Shane Steichen wants. So you would take the RPO game away to have the ability to throw for 250 to 300 with Flacco. Yeah. And I think he'll take that any day of the week. I will bring up this, though. you know, seeing how Jameis is succeeding, seeing now how teams are going back to backups, you know, what does this say about big picture or in terms of the evaluation process for some of these rookie quarterbacks when we see, you know, Deshaun and free agents not succeed? Daniel Jones, another, you know, egg on Monday night with the game on the line. Is this the end of the big contracts? I brought it up to Scott yesterday. Get your take on it.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I think it's a good point, right? We have heard a lot of clamor about quarterback development and the lack thereof. I would press pause on it a little bit. I still think some of the great players in this league are all younger quarterbacks, 28 or younger. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, multiple-time MVP winner there, of course, for Lamar, Joe Burrow. Still, these guys are young and came into good situations right away and made an impact. But we have seen resurrections, right? Jameis looks good right now in Cleveland. We have seen Sam Darnold develop in more places. Baker Mayfield lead the Bucs to a playoff trip a season ago. Jared Goff, after being cast off by the Rams, has found a new MVP caliber life in Detroit. So I think it is worth noting that sometimes it's not where you are drafted or when in the draft, but the situation you find yourself in. Not even just franchise and city, Joe, but coaching staff, which ties in perfectly to Anthony Richardson. Part of the thing I will say, though, Joe, Shane Steichen's a great head coach and a great offensive mind, as we have seen. Brought Gardner Minshew and the Colts to a winning record last year. More than likely, we'll do the same with Joe Flacco. Win total is 8.5 for the Colts now. The over, a slight bit of plus money, might be worth it. It's the same price to go over 8.5 for Indianapolis at plus 116 as it is to see a playoff berth. Part of that, Joe, is because we expected the AFC to be a gauntlet. 10, 11 wins necessary to even think about a wild card berth. Has not been the case. But this is the issue for Anthony Richardson. Joe, we're college football guys. You watch him at Florida, he makes plays that nobody should make. And yet the overall body of work, 53.8% completion percentage. It is only full season as a starter. That thing does not get better as you take the big step to the next level that is the NFL. And he's got a 48, this is AR, 48.5% completion percentage this season. Six full games, five of them 10 completions or less. We know the athleticism is there. We know the arm strength is there. We know the marvelous plays are there. But the consistency and the efficiency is not. You feel for AR because if it does not work out in Indianapolis, that's kind of a shot to him. But, Joe, it was also a developmental piece and a draft pick for Anthony Richardson to end up in Indy, to work through these lumps. Last year, only four games. Season comes to a close with the shoulder injury. Last year should have been the rookie season to work through this and earn his reps. Instead, Indy got a taste of winning with Shane Steichen and thinks they have a competitive roster, which they do. And thus, Anthony Richardson, his development now kind of behind the eight ball.
It really is. And do they utilize him down the stretch in terms of RBO type of packages, right? We saw it with Taysom Hill when the quarterback situation didn't work out in New Orleans. Anthony Richardson taken much higher than Taysom Hill, but if he could provide some sort of benefit in goal line situations, you know, we talk about it with Justin Fields with Pittsburgh as well. We'll see how these situations play out then.
Yeah, we will, Joe. We certainly will. Anthony Richardson saying that Shane Steichen didn't give him a true reason as to why he's now riding the pine. Michael Pittman Jr. said he found out about the quarterback shuffle on social media. Not sure how great the situation is in Indianapolis. They're a 5.5-point road dog in Minneapolis against the Vikings on Sunday night. Quickly here, Lisey guy. We got word from Dave Canales yesterday, the Panthers head coach, that Bryce Young, despite a healthy Andy Dalton, remains the starter. Yippee.
We'll get maybe 200 yards out of Bryce Young. Maybe. And maybe they cover the number this week.
Yeah, they haven't covered the number often in the 25 games since the start of last year. Now 5-18-2 ATS. Speak about another situation that has just soured for a young quarterback that showed promise and now has none of it and slightly probably even worse confidence, if that's at all possible. To State College, Pennsylvania, we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Let's get you set for the opening Saturday in November. It is week number 10 of the college football season. And Joseph Anthony Lisi on Saturday afternoon, a noon Eastern time kick in Happy Valley inside Beaver Stadium. It's State College, Pennsylvania. It's number 3, Penn State. It's number 4, Ohio State. The Buckeyes, a 3.5-point road favorite. The over-under stands at 45.5. Lisi Guy, it is the game of the year once again in the Big Ten following a few weeks ago the trip to Autzen Stadium between Ohio State and Oregon. It is a game of the year each and every time these two teams square off. And ho! Joe, one time for the narrative, huh? Ryan Day against AP top 5 opponents, 2-6. That's not good enough. James Franklin against Ohio State, 1-9, 3-17 straight up against AP top 10 foes. So, Lisi Guy, tell everybody out there, sadly, who does the narrative continue for on Saturday?
Well, yeah, you mentioned that. Now, Penn State has dropped, what, 9 of the last 10 straight up against Ohio State? But I'll tell you what, they're a covering machine typically against the Buckeyes. This is the lowest spread that we've seen in this series, I think, over the last 10 years, Ben. I think we have to go back, right? Every spread is like 10 to 20.5 points. I can't remember a spread shorter than that, you know, in recent years. It comes down to the health of Drew Aller. The fact that Penn State, you know, needs to run the football. I've been very critical of Will Howard. He's good. I don't believe he's elite. They struggled last week against Nebraska. I think they're going to struggle again against Penn State. I know it's a toss-up type of game, and you want to go with the better, more complete offense. But I have to go with the home team here. I'll buy into James Franklin rolling out all the stops, early kick, Happy Valley. Give me Penn State. Low. It's probably going to be a lower scoring game, but I'm hoping on fireworks, but give me Penn State outright.
I know how much you hate that. I really do know how much you hate that. To back Penn State and James Franklin in a game where not much is expected of them, in a game where they are supposed to be the underdog, but rise to the occasion. It is not something the Nittany Lions have done often under James Franklin. In fact, Lisi Guy, they have only been an underdog 30 times since James Franklin took the reins in State College. A lot of that early on, 15-15 ATS, just 7 outright wins in the last decade plus of this college football campaign. In fact, in the last 4 years, they have been in the last two years, they have been an underdog only 4 times against Ohio State and Michigan. They have not won outright. Lisi, the total is very interesting to me, and I think a lot of it will be predicated on what Penn State's offense is able to accomplish. Practice yesterday, Drew Aller out there wearing sweatpants to cover a brace on the knee. Who exactly knows, but did partake in practice. It does appear, Joe, as though he will get the start for Penn State, not Bo Prabula, who was really good in the second half in relief duty in Madison on Saturday night. So let's talk about the X's and O's of this matchup. Because, Joe, again, I actually think matchup advantages entering this game, just based on what we have seen this year, Penn State does have the edge. But is it enough for Penn State to win a football game that we're not exactly sure they're supposed to win? That is what I'm really wrestling with right now in terms of locking down a favorite bet for this football game.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. We know they can run the football, right? And their defense has been exploited at times by faster offenses. Look at USC, right? USC put up 30 points on that defense. And they did it on the ground, and they did it through the air with Miller Moss. So, again, we know that if Ohio State's clicking and hitting on all cylinders, Junkins and obviously Ibuka and those wide receivers could challenge them over the top. We saw UCLA move the football on Penn State. So, again, you know, you can never say that Ohio State can't dominate this game. I'll just go back to the simple fact of, you know, I believe in order to win this game, the team that runs the football the best will win it, take the quarterbacks out of it, and that's where I give the edge to Penn State. The fact that they're at home, must-win type of situation, backs against the wall, they haven't looked good up until this point. Give me Penn State. You know, they were able to run it in the second half against Wisconsin. Hopefully that continues in this matchup.
And so, Joe, the second half is a huge component of this game, in my estimation, as well. Very few defenses. In fact, there is not one. Ole Miss, similar numbers, but very few defenses better than Penn State in the second half this year. They have only allowed 30 total points in their seven games in the second half, just six allowed in the third quarter. They are allowing 3.38 yards per play. Just to put that into perspective, less than 3.4 yards per play in the second half. The nation's best total defense in yards per play is Texas at 3.81. Texas is the only team with less than 4 yards per play in full games this year. And in the second half, that's when Penn State bows up. The Nittany Lions under in 5 of 7 games this year. The only overs against Bowling Green and, of course, the overtime winner in L.A. against USC. Lisa Guy, Ohio State's only over in its 4 Big Ten games. That one was in Eugene against Oregon. It was the only game Ohio State has played in this year with a point spread at 17 points or less, and thus the only over. Ohio State in its last two games has allowed 49 total points, 32 to the Ducks, 17 last week against the Cornhuskers. They buckled up in the red zone, only 10 red zone scores allowed this year by that Jim Knowles defense. But Lisa Guy, first 5 games of the year, 35 total points allowed combined by the Buckeyes. Now 49 in the last two. And Ohio State's not running the football like we expected them to this year with Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson and a mobile Will Howard in a Chip Kelly offense. Penn State elite stopping the run as well.
Yeah, they are. Less than, what, I believe, 2.9 yards per carry, 30% or less in third down defense. And again, you know, they're forcing turnovers. It's going to be very difficult. And if you watch that Ohio State-Nebraska game, you know, Nebraska was pounding the rock in the second half. Their offensive line was getting a push. So if that's what we could expect in regards to this matchup, it's going to be a long day. Again, that's why I favor a lower scoring game.
More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. Lisi Guy, only one ranked versus ranked game outside of Ohio State and Penn State. It's SMU and Pitt, and big quarterback news for both teams entering yesterday. Both unbeaten, by the way, in ACC play. The Panthers unbeaten all season long at 7-0 for the first time since 1982. Pat Narduzzi, Pittsburgh's head coach, saying yesterday on his radio show, Joe, that talented freshman quarterback Eli Holstein is ready to go. He will play on Saturday. Rhett Lashley saying that Kevin Jennings was at practice. They expect him to be a full go. He should be ready for this monumental ACC affair between the Stangs and the Panthers. To the heart of Texas we go for an ACC showdown. SMU, a touchdown favorite, Joe, against Pitt. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I still think Pitt is the right side in regards to the points. You got two top dominant front sevens. Pitt's holding opposing offenses 2.7 yards per rush. SMU 2.8 yards per carry, well under 100 yards each for both of those front sevens. And the secondary playing very opportunistic. We saw Pitt with 5 interceptions against Kyle McCord, 3 pick sixes. To me, that's the difference. Narduzzi as a dog in this spot. Again, you don't have to win. You just got to cover the 7-point number. Keith Jennings, 3 interceptions last week. That's a cause of concern. That's why we'll see how that plays out.
He's got you in your feels, that blitzing guy, Kevin Jennings. Not Keith Jenkins, Kevin Jennings, 254 yards through the air.
Anyway, one tutty, three interceptions. That's what matters.
Correct.
But SMU, I will say this, in that win against Duke, 211 rushing yards on the ground, that's going to be the matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, big time, Joe, big time. Both of these defenses, one of 14 teams around the country that allow less than 100 yards on the ground, but both allowing nearly 240 yards or more through the air. In fact, three of the last five quarterbacks that SMU have played, and you could argue with a pulse, have thrown for nearly 300 or more. Malik Murphy, 298 last week in the win, albeit on the road in Louisville against Tyler Shuck. He threw for 320 plus. Josh Hoover of TCU put up nearly 370 yards. Pitt was the worst scoring offense in the ACC a year ago, averaging just 20.2 points per game. But Pat Narduzzi, old school, grinded out type of head coach, made a huge adjustment this offseason, hired the 31-year-old offensive coordinator, Cade Bell. He has come in and made a difference. I think we see some points on Saturday in the heart of Texas in Dallas in a top 20 tilt between SMU and Pitt. And Joe, I would agree, I probably lean the Panthers as the underdog in this matchup. Another big ACC showdown, Clemson and Louisville. The Tigers, Joe, since the opening season loss to Georgia, have won six straight. They have scored at least 29 points in all six of these games. The average victory margin for the Tigers, 27.3 points per game. Double-digit favorite, near and two touchdowns against the Cards. Does it continue for Dabo Swinney and the Tigers?
They might win because they've dominated Louisville eight straight in the series, but I like Louisville in this spot. Come from behind win against Bill O'Brien and Boston College last Friday night, 31-27. I like the big three, Shuck, Isaac Brown, and Ja'Cory Brooks. That travels well. Their defense has been, you know, good and bad at times, but I'll take them to be within the number on Saturday night in Death Valley.
Louisville as a dog this year, 0-2 ATS, but they have lost both of those games by just a touchdown against Miami and against Notre Dame. So just know that in terms of where they have stood, those numbers less than a touchdown, and they were unable to cover. 4.5-point dog at home against Miami, 6.5-point road underdog against Notre Dame. Leesy guy Clemson, this is now a double-digit spread. The Tigers have covered in four of their six games. They're two non-covers by just a total of 4 points. They are averaging 48.5 points per game. That would be the highest scoring output in all of college football if we did throw away the Georgia game. I don't know if I'm about to lay double digits with Clemson. Again, I think we see some points. 62.5 is that total between Louisville and Clemson in Death Valley on Saturday night. He is Joe Leesy. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. But you can catch Leesy Guy tonight, NFL Football in-game live game day for Thursday night between the Jets and the Texans. We'll be back tomorrow, a Football Friday, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network to set the stage for the weekend. And a happy Halloween once again. We'll talk to you tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.